So, Charlie can do the cold open.
I'm just going to stare into the camera for...
I got to open the chat real quick.
Yeah.
So, go ahead.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Talking Tech. No, I'm not here by myself. Sean is currently walking because we are the only ones running the video again today, like we did last time.
Everybody's a little bit busy because we're doing many
things.
Everyone's doing things for schools and other things, so we didn't have anybody helping us today. Yeah. Well,
we got a lot of things going on.
Yes. That.
Yeah, I gotta run and use the mouse.
Yay.
So we have a keyboard, but our wireless mouse was not
packed in the bag today.
So we're going real professional.
Yeah, so we're gonna probably see Sean run back and forth across the room maybe a few times. We'll see. Maybe not. Who knows?
The shadow knows.
But you'll still get tech news. Kind of. Maybe.
Alright, so the chat's running.
Okay, so now we can see chat and everything else.
Yep.
Cool.
Yep.
So now we're gonna bring Sean back into frame.
I hope I'm in
frame.
With my mic on.
And head turned on straight. Wait. After the craziness that was today.
Hey, Morgan. So. Yep, we were all out at a library with Stan the Tech Van.
Yes.
So
we made treks today.
Yep. We're all over the place.
Especially since we got the ramp in.
Yeah. So, and the ramp would not have happened without Morgan and Charlie. So, you ready to get this started?
I guess so.
All right. So, welcome to Talking Tech, where Charlie and I get to talk about the technology stories that we find interesting, as well as take your questions. So if you have a technology question, this is an open forum. Ask the question. If we can't answer it, we may just have to get back to you. So I'm Sean Walsh. I'm your Emerging Services and Technologies Librarian. And with me, as always,
the very, very professional Charlie, the Guiding Ohio Online Learning Coach here at the Public Library.
All right.
Because clearly we were absolutely set to do this today. Absolutely.
Well, everything ready to go. It's just literally I had a mouse.
Because I don't have a mouse. Hello, yeah. Margaret.
Margaret.
We didn't get the chance to say thank you, Margaret, tonight. So
yeah.
You want to do the thank you, Margaret, now?
Yes, ready?
As a cumulative?
Thank you, Margaret.
Anyway.
Because the library's changed its hours, so the announcements no longer go off during Talking Tech.
Nope.
So I think we're just going to say, I think we may begin the program every time with just a thank you, Margaret.
Yeah, maybe.
She's also a listener, a viewer, a commenter, a question asker, a lot of stuff.
Yes.
So
we appreciate Margaret for being in the
absolutely
the chat 90% of the time.
And also a friendly face at our circulation desk. Don't
yes.
forget that. And sometimes our public services desk.
Oh, yeah.
So she does lots of stuff like the rest of us. Lots of hats.
Oh, yes.
My Facebook just went completely insane.
Did it just lose its mind?
Yes.
Well, they
went
just
to go share it.
They just updated it just recently too, didn't they?
Yes,
and
yes.
They changed a lot of things.
Yeah,
do we want to kind of talk about that?
So that'll be a story that isn't a story on my
yeah,
sheet.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you manage a lot of Facebook pages like I do, I manage the Facebook pages for the library, and we have 5-6 pages plus 3 Instagrams,
yep.
Twitter, a Twitch, LinkedIn page. We got Snapchat, TikTok. We got a lot of stuff, but specifically Instagram and Facebook overhauled their business suite, and so the experience is very, very different. And I'm still getting used to it.
Mm-hmm.
They totally upended how you kind of interact with everything. It before you could be yourself, like
yeah.
your own Facebook, and like temporarily become the library comments or to
yeah,
to
as
do
long
stuff.
As you signed in, you could swap back and forth and
yeah.
you didn't have to sign back in left
correct.
And right.
In this case, you literally switch to be the library.
Okay.
Okay.
That's
and then
nice.
You have to consciously switch back to your own profile on like my phone.
Yeah.
So, for example, if I get a question that comes in on our book club page for all the book clubs, whether it's a youth book club or adult book club, I become the book club page on my phone.
You are now book club.
And then if some to get my other notifications, I have to exit book club, come back to me, because I'm only book club at that point.
Yeah.
I'm still the one who gets all the notifications. So I have to go back to me. And then I got to see if there's any notifications for the children's, mm-hmm. the teen and tween, mm-hmm. wherever. And so I have to consciously flop back and forth, mm-hmm. back and forth, back
now,
and forth.
Now, it's and that's how it is now?
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah.
So, okay. But then my next question would be, did they pull a Meta and just said?
Well, it is Meta.
Well, I know. Well, that's what I'm trying to get into the whole calling Facebook Meta now. Did they pull a Meta and just not tell anybody about this thing? And then it was just like one day you woke up and you're like, oh, I can't get the book club.
I think there was some warnings. It basically said, hey, do you want to try this page out? And I'm like, no. I don't want to mess with my workflow.
So it was the, I'm testing this out, and no matter what's going to happen, it's going to happen, and you're going to like it.
Yep, and you're going to use it.
It's one of those.
Like my favorite new Facebook feature is if you manage a lot of pages, you used to be able to go into the events for a page and create a new event.
You can't
do that. You have to go into the business manager to create an event, at least as far as I found. Because we make a lot of events here. We make hundreds of events over the course of a couple of months for our own programs, other programs, all that stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
That doesn't make me want to lose my mind just trying to think about it and wrap it around.
Just don't host pages or groups or anything like that.
This is why I only have my Instagram, my Facebook, and not multiple accounts, because there's no point in having multiple accounts anyway.
So again, if you have any questions after we've yammered about Facebook and complained a little bit, then they're listening to us. So now they're going to really have fun with me.
We're streaming on their platform.
We're literally streaming on their platform. And people are saying hi from their platform.
Exactly.
Yeah. So
they're definitely.
This is where we lose all of our audience. Just all of a sudden, somehow we don't reach.
Just all of a sudden, the page just disappears.
The algorithm hates us. All right, you ready to start with a real story?
Yes.
All right, Charlie.
Yes.
What's your real story, dude?
Let's start with a real story.
All right.
Well, this one's kind of like just like a cool little thing, and I know a bunch of like friends that I'm with would appreciate. So,
well, I'm just appreciating the
Teenage Engineering's new record factory is your own personal record maker.
Okay.
So,
$150
for a. Basically a record maker.
A record press.
Yes.
Well, in this case, it's an engraver, it looks
like. Yeah, it's an engraver. The only thing is it only supports 5-inch records.
Okay.
And it's four or three minutes of recording per side.
Okay.
At 33 RPM.
Okay. So, like, when I was in a band and we were doing some recording
Hold on. There's an adapter for a 7-inch recorder.
Okay,
record adapter.
Okay, so, like, 7s were very common. Mm-hmm. Like, if you were in the music scene in the 90s and the 2000s, makes it sound like I'm really official, but whatever. if you were doing music, if you're in the music scene, at that point in time, a lot of what people handed out were 7-inch records because you could get them made really cheaply.
Yeah,
and so like that was your band's demo because you could get a couple tracks on it either side, and that was your demo because you could also have a nice like jacket for it.
Yeah,
and it was easier to do for a long time than CDs. Plus, it was like a scene thing. Mm-hmm. So like, if you made a record, mm-hmm. you were like part of the.
You were the cool kids.
You were part of the scene.
You were a cool kid.
So for example, like NoFX. And a lot of those bands that came out about then, Lagwagon, you know, that whole huge fat record scene.
Yeah.
Okay. Almost all 7-inches. And then they did CDs, but like everybody, like, you know, and kind of like their announcement, their big to-do was always a bunch of 7-inches.
Mm-hmm.
And you go see a show, and like in the back of someone's car, whoever's doing their merchandise, would be like, really like home done t-shirts.
Yeah.
And boxes of these sevens.
Of the seven inch.
And it's funny, now they're super collectible. Mm. So like depending on the artist, popular they became how obscure they are, people love 7-inches.
Yes.
Yeah. So fives could be really cool.
Yeah, there's a 7-inch adapter included, it seems like.
Mm-hmm. I'm totally down with that.
What else am I missing about this?
Just saw Josh tune in. Hey, Josh.
Let's see. There is. But you can plug it into other audio sources to the input jack. So it's also, I guess, considered a player?
Yeah.
There's also a lineup. Yeah, for listening lineup, other yeah. to power, and you power it from a USB.
Yeah.
And I even see like one of the little PO14 synths and other stuff yeah, that you could just plug into it and make a record
so, yeah.
with.
Yeah. So I was, if I was like doing a band right now, I mean, I would totally love this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I could create my own records instead of going out to a company and having them pressed.
Yeah. And I think that would be really cool.
Yeah, because I mean, the late 2000s, everyone was doing CDs, but like again, a CD was one thing.
Yeah,
you know,
but having a record was
having another. A record was like you were part you were, of the, you were like
you were there scene, you were man. You were like trying to yeah. really hit a record deal at that point. Yeah. You know,
you were hardcore.
Oh yeah,
yeah. So actually, I have a record story too.
Oh
yeah.
Conveniently. So, hey, we're not starting off with the, we're going to talk about cars for the first half an hour of the show. We're actually talking about
cars and games. We're talking about yeah, records. We're talking about yeah, vinyl.
Records.
Vinyl. And in all honesty, I've always liked vinyl because I grew up with vinyl.
Oh, yeah.
You know, being a child of the 80s, born in the 70s, a child of the 80s mm-hmm. and 90s and such. You know, I loved vinyl. I always had like, even my little kid records were vinyl, you know?
Yeah.
So I, you know, I've always loved vinyl and it's kind of cool to see vinyl coming back. Like mm-hmm. you go to,
oh yeah.
You go to a store.
There's new,
there's new more records. Vinyl
yeah.
than there is CDs.
Yeah.
And they're sometimes. Picture discs, which are cool. I'm well, not, like, I'm not a huge fan of picture discs. So yeah. a picture disc looks like a CD for anybody out there who knows traditional vinyl. It has a on the surface mm-hmm. of the record is would be like the picture on the CD. I'm not a huge fan of them mm-hmm. because frankly, they're just in my way. I yeah. could care less. I do like liner notes. I've always liked liner notes. Mm-hmm. you don't get those very much, but picture discs are cool. Excuse me. I was just out yeah. at a an exchange. It's like a chain. Yeah. I don't know if there's any up here.
The exchange,
yeah,
yeah. There's two up here.
Yeah, so you buy used video games, but they have a huge vinyl collection.
Oh yeah.
And my friend, my best friend and I were going through the vinyl, and we were laughing because well, one, you know, like vintage vinyl.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, there was like so we're the vintage vinyl, and I realize yeah. I'm in my 40s now.
There's like out of the way stuff. Like, but, trust me, me and my friend have gone the we record were flipping down too through, many times.
And I'm like. And this one said, you know, like vintage special, you know, made this big deal. Yeah. And I looked at the record and I'm not going to call out the artist because that's not fun or anything like that. I'm not going to call out the artist, but I'm like, this is literally the worst record. This particular band who is famous, like we're not talking some obscure thing, famous band has ever made. And they're like making this big deal of, I'm thinking, if you're the kid who's getting into this particular band.
Exactly. Yeah.
And this is your first album. You're never going to like the rest of it because it's a horrible example of that band.
Yeah.
You know, there's one of my all-time favorite bands is literally this punk band. Their whole collection is punk except for one album that's New Age. New Wave. Sorry, not New
Don't
Wave.
Don't you just love when bands just do that? Do they just and go out of their
like
genre?
There's two songs that are really awesome on it that people have covered. But like the rest of it's like, what on earth is this?
What is this?
It's like such a
What have
shift.
You done?
What have you done? So back to my story after that little...
Yeah, after little, that small rant.
Hey, we made a tangent. Is anyone surprised? A company called Evolution Music has created the first bioplastic vinyl record made from sugar and starches.
Okay, I think I saw that on your computer as I was walking in out of the office multiple times.
Yeah. So it's spun sugar. So okay. If you've ever done any candy making, you kind of know what we're making, sugar and starch. What I don't know is how they stabilize it so, like, you know, your records don't melt in the rain.
Well,
or they get sticky when it's hot outside.
There's probably going to be like a little disclaimer label on the record when you buy it. Do not have outside in rain or wet record.
Or heat. Well, you're supposed to have records heat,
well,
heat
I know,
anyway.
But still, so. It's like, do not insert multiple things that would kill a sugar starch record immediately.
So I don't know what they use. They have to use something to stabilize it so it doesn't get, you know, the bugs don't eat them. Morgan, I agree. I needed to read the rest of the story and I did read the rest of the story, but it didn't really go into detail too much about, like, they had to stabilize it with something. I mean, it can't be just sugar and starch.
Well, my other thing would be, wouldn't the needle just like kill it?
Yeah, I mean, well, the needle could destroy a vinyl pretty easily.
I know, but still, like it being sugar and starch, like
wear a lot easier.
Yeah, it would wear a lot easier than I would think plastic.
Vinyl wears a lot. Vinyl gets worn down quite a bit.
Yeah,
if you play,
well, if you play,
and I know some of our audience out there, you know, you knew the album just by looking at it where your track was because of the difference.
Yeah.
In like just like a mark. You're like
you knew where your
totally
favorite song
is where
was.
My favorite song yep. is. Yeah. But yeah, so vinyl big time coming back. And well, I'm all for it.
I think it's kind of cool. I've also seen like bands, like they're smaller ones. They're not like everyone knows who they are, sort of thing. They're putting their records and stuff on floppy disks. And stuff
records
like that.
On floppies.
Yes.
Now that dates me back to, you know, going online and getting MIDI files.
Mm-hmm.
So I could have a MIDI file on my floppy disk because
oh,
then
me,
I had
these
sound.
These are full on like
oh,
albums
I know.
On floppies. And it's awesome.
You could fit a full with compression. You could probably fit a full. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what they do. They compress it so they all fit on there.
1.44 megabytes.
Yes. Unless you went with the bigger. Slightly bigger sizes.
Yep.
Farther than the line.
1.2. Yeah. Well, I think we were having a discussion recently about zip disks and LS120
yes.
disks. And I have all of those drives. And
well, I have a zip drive now, but I don't have any. I don't have any like disks to try to see if it works.
Yeah.
It's like one of the Dell laptops ones that you slip in and out.
Oh,
and
okay.
I just need to find the cable for it, and then the.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So what else you got?
You know what? I'm gonna do something with. Verizon.
Okay.
So Verizon teases a 5G gaming handheld made by Razer.
Okay. It's got a pedigree.
Yeah. So, I mean, Razer, Gate.
Gates, Grant Computers. We're all having flashbacks of zip drives. That's Morgan is, like me, has been around for a while in libraries and, yeah, how about that? Yeah, every single one came with a zip drive because that was going to be the standard. Floppies are going to go away.
Yeah.
Zip drives are going to be the way to do it for portable. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember.
They also had a key on them to unlock and lock deep freeze. It was a physical key.
Well, yeah, you told me about that when we were doing the new ones.
I have one in the basement. I should bring it. a library gave me an old kit for one of those to use if any other library who was keeping their gates around. That part broke.
Yeah.
They had a replacement kit and they gave it to me. I have it in the basement somewhere, like most things I have. It's squirreled away in my basement. So Razer handheld 5G gaming.
Handheld. So similar to like what is now out there, like the Steam Deck is what I'm understanding it to be.
Okay.
But it's running off of a Qualcomm chip.
Wow. Okay.
Let's see.
Well, Qualcomm's can pull some.
Oh, trust some me. Flops. I know that they can. The only thing is like, let's see, won't have running Android instead of Steam OS, which makes sense.
They don't want to compete with themselves.
This is going to start around 250. Same type of people who bought the NVIDIA Shield handheld. So basically they're going off of like, it's like a streaming. Well, that's what they're comparing it to.
Yeah.
But a newer version of the
Shield.
Yeah. But basically it's running off of 5G.
Uh-huh.
Well, Verizon's 5G network at this point until... They expand
Verizon
off of Verizon.
And whoever else they now partner with, I can't remember.
Yeah. But like, so it's going to be running off of Verizon 5G network. So I'm going to assume maybe it's more of maybe game streaming.
Yeah.
I mean, again, I don't think that Qualcomm couldn't hold like games, but they're saying that you can run games at 144 frames per second for these things.
So when we say game streaming, we mean that really the game isn't installed on your PC. You're just, or your handheld or whatever.
Yeah.
You're using a server somewhere out in the internet.
Yeah, it is
streaming.
Just a streaming device.
And you're basically viewing the game and you're sending controls back and forth, but it really doesn't live on your device. It lives out in the cloud, which, by the way, is a fancy way of saying someone else's computer.
Yeah, so basically there are services from like Xbox or Microsoft at this point. I'm just going to do that. Sony with their PlayStation.
Yeah.
One that they're slowly rolling out. Netflix.
Slowly is a word for it, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it is. It's very slow.
Netflix.
Netflix is coming out with one. Android has a bunch of like their like you pay for insert you know whatever app game apps here sort of thing. That's what I'm guessing it is and what's turning into. And Steam even has like a Steam Cloud thing that you can do.
Yeah,
but you still have to have Steam installed somehow and then play it. But you connect it to your machine. It runs off of your own machine with installed device.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a runaround for this, but
yeah, it's weird.
I mean, it still definitely seems interesting because like Razer was the one that really pushed the gaming phone.
Yeah.
At the point until Asus came out with their
Asus came out
darn stupid
yeah
the ROG phone.
Yeesh.
what was that, $1,500 for a phone that just has like the newest, latest, and greatest things?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, hold on. I forgot. It has the MagSafe, basically, more or less, fan that attaches to the back of it, so it cools it.
Yeah, sure. And it has active cooling. If your fan needs external cooling, it's probably not a good phone.
Yeah, because it's clocked to the...
I can imagine. I've left my phone playing a game in my pocket. I now have third-degree burns. Yeah, no.
Through the screen, not just through the...
Yeah, no. Yeah. Yeah, no.
Yeah, no. No, I agree.
That is so Midwest. Yeah, no.
Yeah, no.
So, in the eras of backwards in time, okay, are you ready
for this
one?
We're going back.
So, in the last couple of years, LTO tapes, so it's our magnetic backup tapes for computers,
yeah,
have gone significantly up in people starting to invest more and more in them and buy them because of ransomware.
Mm.
And so they talk about this thing called an air gap. Okay.
Yes.
And so an air gap, when it comes to computers, backups, ransomware, means that the files that are on the computer, the backup isn't directly attached or is removed, so that if the computer gets compromised, the backup isn't compromised because it's not physically attached to the computer.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's what an air gap is. And so, you know, companies that have huge amounts of data are now backing things up on tape. Because I used to back up on tape. I, you know, every library I ever worked with, we had some sort of tape. And LTOs is where I left off at, which is a big old fat tape like this wide. And you would back it up, put it in its case, and you would take one home with you, ideally, and keep it at home. So that if, heaven forbid, the library, the organization would have a fire, flood, or this is before ransomware, but a regular virus, you know, you could back up from the tape. And there was a lot of libraries who like had a policy where they would take their backups and put it in a safety deposit box and all that stuff. You know, and then as drives became cheaper, more and more places just started putting in drives. And like we use a removable drive system here.
Yeah.
Where
I use pockets
full of tapes. Morgan's, yep. I use a removable drive system where I physically create the air gap by taking the drive off the premises.
On and off. Yeah.
And I do weekly. Well, multi-weeks and monthlies and yearlies and quarterly backup drives. So I have multiple drives running at any time. So I can go back many different times if heaven forbid, something horrible would happen.
Yes.
They're not inexpensive, those drives. And tapes are still cheap.
Yeah.
Tapes are slow. Because trust me, the worst thing you wanted to do is try to recover from a tape for one file. Because it would have to find one file. So if you can imagine, it's like an 8-track. It has to play all the way through the tape to find the spot for the file to then replace the file.
Well, yeah, it has to run the entire tape, and then it takes...
Yes, because those tapes were like thousands and thousands of feet of tape.
Yes.
I mean, I still have a couple LTOs floating around at home because I had an LTO drive at home too because everybody had one of those at one point.
Everyone did, and then it stopped.
So how about that? We're going back to records. Yep. We're going back to magnetic tape.
Yes.
All of my 80s and 90s flashbacks are happening right now in my head. Really good music playing right now. Yep. Really slow backups playing right now.
I say the 80s are coming for you, Sean.
The 80s are coming
They're
for you.
They're slowly catching
certain
up.
Certain fashion trends I don't want to ever return.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. No Flock of Seagulls haircuts for me.
I don't know. Some of the newer fashion designs out there going back towards
that. I totally want a 1980s Taco Bell because that was the coolest thing on the face of the planet. 80s and 90s Taco Bells. It was the greatest in design ever. Well, you got a throwback Happy Meal, an adult Happy Meal earlier.
No,
today.
It wasn't even a throwback. It's just...
Oh, it's the new adult Happy Meal.
It's just an adult Happy Meal thing. And I'm just it's okay.
Yeah.
But,
speaking of food, you know how we always talk about subscription services?
Somehow.
Sheetz, which is going in at 90. Okay, in Madison here,
has
a subscription service for French fries. You pay a monthly fee, unlimited Sheetz French fries.
You should have just stopped talking when you did.
I know, dude.
I'm going.
I know.
My friend's going to see me a lot up there now.
Yep. Why is the entire IT and Create Space staff at Madison Public Library always
at
Sheetz?
You'll find out. When we were at the library today, one lady was talking about cornbread, and we all lit up in that room when we were doing the presentation.
Yes, CreateSpace is powered by home cooking and cornbread, just throwing that out there.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, Morgan's mom used tapes in the 70s, and I have some of those tapes, oddly enough, as I archived a piece of equipment that I think your mom used to work on. I have the reel-to-reel tapes. I have a set that I was allowed to remove off premises for I wiped them clean. Yeah. So there's no data on them, but I was allowed to remove them off premises so I can save them. So the directors allowed me to do that. It was really nice.
Nice.
Because I wanted something to show people to say, this is what a reel-to-reel magnetic tape looked like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So. What else you got?
Well, I mean, we can talk about something a little bit funny. So you know how NFL partnered with Microsoft, what, 2016,
something like that, with their
Surface tablets and stuff
like that. Like all the coaches and stuff have Surfaces.
Yeah. Maybe it wasn't a great idea to hand them to them because you know how many tragic Surface deaths there have been since the 2016 partnership?
Depends on how bad the season's going for a specific NFL team.
Yeah. Well, so just recently, a Bills offensive coordinator decided to
Watching the video.
Yeah, there's like a little GIF on screen. I wish we could show you the.
We don't want to show this kind of violence on PC violence.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some PC person out there like, oh no, please don't show it. But
this guy is
absolutely going at it on the Surface, and this is not the only person that's done it. Tom Brady has chucked 2 Surface tablets at the ground during games. And even the head coach, Bill Belichick, just
you can be angry tablets. At the situation, but do you have to do violence on the equipment? No.
No.
As IT people, we would very much like you to not do violence upon the equipment.
Yeah. But yeah, it's just like everyone here has like, let's see, Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers has abused one of these. Tom Brady.
Yeah, all of a sudden, these people are going to walk into some IT department and just get the look.
Yeah, they're going to get the look.
They're going to get the look.
You are not touching.
You're not allowed to touch any of this stuff. This is not the tablets you're looking for. Move along. I don't care how many millions of dollars. You're not allowed to touch our stuff.
Yes, exactly. It's just crazy because it's like you see so many of these like tech companies partnering with all these big like either sports brands or anything like that, and it's just like
crazy.
Destroy everything in sight, says this one player or coach.
This is not what we want to show people. This is not what we want to show people.
No.
So, SpaceX, you know, I am the resident space reporter.
Yes. Yes. We figured out you're the science, space, and everything else coordinator.
Yeah. So SpaceX is actually talking about going up and servicing the Hubble telescope. Because I don't know if you remember when we last serviced the Hubble telescope, we used the space shuttle and we had to use the robotic arm, the Canadian robotic arm that's on space shuttle.
Yeah.
And that's how we held it in place. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that they could do tons of spacewalks. In fact, I'm pretty sure I'll have to double check. At least one or two Ohio astronauts serviced the Hubble Space Telescope, but right now I don't have any of the data in front of me, but I'm pretty sure at least one or two. Of our, we have a lot of Ohio astronauts. If you don't know that, we have a lot of big names, but we have a lot of people that like pioneered space that their names are not someone you hear on a regular basis. Awesome people. But yeah, SpaceX could go up and actually, because Hubble, you know, as anything is technically, even though it's orbiting is just a fancy fall. It's just falling slowly towards Earth.
It's getting closer and closer.
So, you know, every satellite we have gets closer and closer to, you know, and ideally we do our best to keep it as geosynchronous as possible, but things move and such. Yeah. And also, you know, space dust, debris, whatever. So they're talking about using SpaceX to go up and service the Hubble telescope, kind of give it a little bit of a boost, shove back where it needs to go so we can get more data out of it. Because it's not like the James Webb telescope isn't doing awesome stuff, but the Hubble's a different type of telescope.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, Hubble blew my mind when I first saw Hubble images. I'm like, This is the face of creation when looking at some of these nebulas and stuff. Yes. This is the most awesomest thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
Oh yeah.
And I'd like to keep seeing that. I like kids to see that because I mean there's still a lot of we know nothing in the grand scheme of things when it comes to space. You know, all the awesome stuff we know nothing.
Yes.
So I'm kind of happy about this because I kind of don't want Hubble to crash down, you know, have it like, you know, because NASA would set it up so it would crash in the ocean or something like that, and that'd just be sad. Yeah. So
it'd be a sad day for a lot of people that really like those space photos.
Yeah, I love it. Where else would you get the background for your phone or computer if not wasn't for the Hubble telescope? True. Come on.
That's a good point.
Yeah. What other stories you got?
I guess we can move on to some more music stuff, but this is more related to Spotify.
All right.
And they're ever expanding into newer territories.
Okay.
Like recently they started doing audiobooks.
Yes, I knew that.
We talked about that last time, I think.
A couple of times.
You know, they were moving into you know, audiobooks. They've been moving into
host our podcast, by the way.
And podcasts and everything.
They host
else.
Our podcasts.
But people are saying it's harder and harder for them to actually try and play music.
Really?
Instead of even in the app that I have, it's like, so you got your recently played stuff.
Yeah.
You have your recommended stuff.
Yeah.
And underneath that is audiobooks.
Uh-huh.
And underneath that is your above the audiobooks is all of your podcasts and everything else.
It's us. This literally turns into a podcast.
But
basically,
the article kind of goes on to say, like, it's just getting super, super, super cluttered.
Yeah.
And compared to what Spotify used to be, where you just, like, you know, it was just podcasts and music.
Yeah.
You find your music real quickly and everything else. Doesn't Spotify own Findaway?
Yes. So Spotify bought Findaway. So Findaway is Playaway audiobooks.
Yes. Okay.
And we talked about that. Morgan, you might have missed that when I talked about that when they bought Findaway. But yeah, Spotify bought out Findaway, which produces MP3 audiobooks that we have some here in the library. They're not actually that popular with us. Small handheld video stuff. There's a bunch of things that they Findaway makes. I mean, it's a good company. Just for our particular audience, it doesn't work out well. They were an Ohio company. Many library companies are out of Ohio. I don't think people know that. Yeah, because they're hosting. I don't want to knock Spotify too much because they're hosting our podcast for free.
I mean,
two of our podcasts.
I mean, at this point, we can call it Suggestions for Change.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like maybe do a separate Spotify audiobooks app or something. Because I don't think there's people. I mean, it makes it convenient that there's only one app.
Yeah.
But I feel like, you know, trying to either or make another tab for it.
Yeah.
On the
What's
app
my
somewhere.
Big complaint about Amazon? As I find it really hard to navigate Amazon Music, where also our podcast is. See, shameless promotion. We're on everything. Amazon, Google, iTunes, iHeartRadio. All of this is broadcast there somewhere. Shameless. I find the Amazon app hard to navigate.
Yeah.
I also find it really annoying that it automatically goes to my music, which is music that I have liked.
Yeah.
Okay, but it starts the same song. So it's the last thing I liked.
Again,
it starts that song and then goes in chronological order, unless I go in and set
and
random
hit it, shuffle. Yeah,
yeah. Instead of like going, or if I'm on a podcast, it will just so like the car starts, it'll start the podcast.
Hmm.
It's really annoying, actually.
Yeah, I mean, Spotify has also been,
but it's so cluttered to find anything.
Yeah, well, like Spotify has now. You can choose either if you're a premium member, of course, you know, because that's how Spotify runs nowadays. If you have premium compared to the basic, which you don't pay for, it doesn't auto shuffle like it used to.
Oh yeah, I love auto shuffle.
But with Spotify now, well, with like premium, now you have two buttons.
Mm-hmm.
You can start auto shuffle.
Uh-huh.
So it starts you on a random song in the list somewhere.
Uh-huh.
Or two, you can start from the top and then just turn on shuffle.
Which
I don't typically like
this
to do.
This kind of feels like Amazon.
Yeah. So. But I'm not saying like it's a bad thing because I use their service quite often myself. But it's just I feel like if they're going to make it where they have audiobooks, they have podcasts, I feel like maybe just another little tab somewhere that has
– at least Amazon has a separate tab for the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
But audiobooks are.
Yeah, I don't. I still see, you know, the reason in audiobooks is I feel like they have gotten a lot more popular recently.
Mm-hmm.
But at this point, it just makes some apps cluttered.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that,
yeah.
I feel like as long as they find a way to organize it,
mm-hmm.
I feel like it would be great.
Yeah.
But until then, it's just, it's still kind of just a little cluttered.
Yeah. Well, they'll work it out. They'll work it out. So, so we'll talk, should we talk a little bit about the elephant in the room with Elon?
How he finally did the thing.
Apparently he's going to buy Twitter for $44 million.
Didn't he offer more?
I don't know. I'm so trying to keep track of this.
Because there's like four or five reports that I've read that he offered more and then Twitter took it. So they were just like, okay, have it. But then I read reports that he is just buying it for the 44.
See, I have a close. So it's going to be interesting to see what goes on with Elon Musk buying out Twitter. And so I'm assuming because it goes private instead of public at that point, but I'm not sure.
I don't know.
It's really hard to tell. But I mean, he's going to have a controlling interest regardless. So it's going to be his platform.
Yeah.
But, it'd be interesting to see where Twitter goes. He has some amazing successes and he has some gigantic failures. There are certain things he's done that, just have changed the world significantly. Mm-hmm. And there's other things that are like, well, that was an idea.
Mm-hmm.
I can't knock him. I mean, he's vastly more successful than I am. So, he knows what he's doing.
Well, I mean, look at recently, he just, for AI Day.
Yeah.
Tesla's robot.
The Optimus.
Yeah. Optimus. Optimus robot.
Yeah.
That he came out with.
And it's a pretty solid AI robot. You know, it's, we're moving pretty far into that whole robotic helper, Rosie the robot kind of thing from like Jetsons.
Yeah, I think that's kind of cool. But I mean, it's still scary in a way. But
well, all robots are scary to most people.
Yeah,
you know, we've all seen the movies.
We've all seen iRobot at one point.
We've read iRobot if we're a librarian.
Yeah,
I've watched it. Yeah, you should read it. Actually, in all honesty, it's a good.
Really,
book. It really is. It's a good. Isaac Asimov's really.
Do you think? Do you think it's a better read than it is a better watch?
Oh, hands down, better read than a better watch, man.
I may have to do something along the lines.
How about listen to an audiobook?
Yeah, probably what I do. maybe Spotify has it. Maybe this is my chance to give Spotify's audiobooks a chance.
Or or Hoopla.
Yeah.
Libby or Hoopla that the library subscribes to. If that wasn't a blatant, man, we're doing so many shameless promotions today.
I mean, at this point, we might as well just have ads running across the screen.
I'm trying for library things.
For library things, not other stuff.
Yes,
that makes sense.
Yeah. So, but I did have pizza from a place in the Madison Village. It was really awesome tonight. Well, I wish good. I could mention them, but you'll figure it out if you know where the Madison Village is.
Well, I mean, at this point, it's no better than us just.
Going on about Taco Bell.
Well, Taco Bell, and then like we were just talking about like Sheets, the Exchange and the Sheets and all that other all those other places.
Well, I try to, if they're a chain, I'll name drop them, but okay. I don't try to.
You don't try the name drop places like small.
Yeah, and it's not because I don't want to promote them. It's just
Yeah, I get you.
Yeah. So, do you want to do a couple more stories, or you want to do that one?
I mean. Wait. So you said, do you want me to do a couple more stories?
Do a couple more stories?
Okay.
Because I got a couple that all run together.
Okay. So let's do the ones that run together.
Okay.
We'll see how long that takes.
All right. 7:41. So a whole bunch of battery stories all came out kind of together.
Okay. I saw this.
Saw that on my screen?
Yes.
Okay.
I saw it on your screen, but I didn't read any of it, of course.
Well, yeah, because you like to be surprised.
Yes, I do. This is generally reaction. Every time,
yes, we do general reactions
because
we try to come
he
in
doesn't,
blind.
Well, okay, sometimes, okay, he'll know. Okay, Sean knows usually what I have because I post him in a group chat that we have on Discord,
yeah,
and he sees it all the time,
yes.
But I don't know what he has because he barely ever rarely posts it on said places because he uses paper, I use computer screen.
This is Notepad, that's the kind of techie I am. This is Notepad.
Bring back better Notepad.
Well, Notepad Plus Plus.
Yes.
Again, I just name dropped someone else, but whatever. I like their product and it's open source. You don't have to pay for it.
Yes.
So a couple battery stories. So my first one that I kind of got excited about is a disposable paper battery has been developed. Okay. So sheet of paper.
So disposable piece of paper battery.
Yeah. So it's a piece of paper. It's disposable. Okay. So it's a proof of concept. Okay.
Okay.
So not marketed yet. On one of the flat sides of the paper is printed with ink containing graphite flakes.
Okay.
Biodegradable, carbon. Which serves as the positive end of the battery, the cathode. The other side is printed with ink containing zinc powder, which serves as the negative or the anode. And so the paper itself acts as a battery.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you'd imagine, so I've got a piece of paper. We're not talking huge batteries.
Yeah.
But sort of, this is sort of a solid state battery. Okay. That I can then use this disposable battery to maybe power a greeting card. You know, the singing greeting card or something like that.
Yeah.
Or I could power something simple with this. This isn't like paper batteries aren't going to go and replace the battery in your phone.
Well, until you get a box, like the Amazon paper box full of them.
So maybe. There was a company for a while. I can't remember their name, but their concept was a power generation thing, and it was a box, and it was a reaction based on. You used a little bit of natural gas, and that process kind of acted as a an accelerant, and it started generating electricity from a little bit of natural gas that would separate out the oxygen and stuff. Bloombox was the name of the company.
Okay.
I don't even know if they're still around because like Google and FedEx and Amazon all invested in them to do their power generation.
And then they kind of fell off the face of the earth.
And nothing. So I'm gonna look them up maybe for the next tech news. I'm gonna look up and see,
see if they
Bloom
sold.
Bloombox. It was a hard one to say too, because I want to say Boombox, which is the well one, it's the thing you held up in the 80s on the side of your head playing your music. But the other thing is it's a game for the Switch and a couple other things.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So a paper battery. So that was cool. And
what's the next one? What's the next battery?
The next battery, okay, aluminum sulfur battery.
Okay.
So right now we do a lithium ion battery.
Yes.
Okay. Aluminum sulfur, lithium, not as prevalent because lithium bonds with everything.
Yeah.
It's one of those cool elements that like literally lithium's like, hey, you want to be my friend? Boom.
There you go.
Okay. Aluminum doesn't always show up, but it's pretty prevalent. Aluminum is everywhere. Sulfur is everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Sulfur is one of the more abundant
media. You can find sulfur anywhere.
Yeah, sulfur's everywhere. And actually, there are creatures that make sulfur. Like certain types of microbes make sulfur. That's why things smell like rotten eggs is the sulfur. So the battery wouldn't smell. Because an aluminum sulfur battery, it's basically inexpensive, abundant, and low-cost renewable backup storage. So again, you know, these would be batteries you would use as a backup battery for a computer instead of a lead acid battery. Lead not being abundant but not being good. Lithium not being abundant and also really kind of nasty to refine. Nickel, which we used in nickel batteries, also really bad. Nickel batteries make it look like someone dropped a bomb wherever that place is.
Yeah.
Terrible for the environment in general. But again, so sulfur and so MIT is pretty much along with a couple other places are saying, hey, we pretty much got this down.
Try this.
Yeah. So that's another type of battery. And then I had mentioned solid state. Yeah. I was talking about paper.
Yes, solid state batteries.
So solid state has been around since the early 1900s. It's one of our first batteries. So solid state means that it's not a liquid battery. It is a physical thing, okay?
Yeah, like hard thing.
Hard thing, yeah.
Okay.
So like a solid state computer, there's no moving parts and it's not liquid. Because most of our batteries, whether you know it or not, is actually, there's liquid involved with it. It may be a slow moving liquid or something that's squishy, whatever. But solid state batteries kind of always been the dream. Problem is all of the stuff that they could do, they're not super reliable. Solid state batteries, the reason why we got out of them at the beginning of electricity was that we just couldn't, they didn't hold power when we needed to, or they would fail unexpectedly, whatever. But
now we kind of refined the solid state battery.
Literally. So what they found is that we finally gotten to the point where we can look at the materials that make solid state batteries.
Yeah.
Look at those materials, which are abundant and everywhere, similar to the silicon and the aluminum, or no, the aluminum and the sulfur. We look at these batteries and what we're finding is the reason they failed is that they weren't pure enough materials. Or there was in the crystalline structure. So, I mean, most things, whether you know it or not, metals are crystalline structures. Ceramics are crystalline structures. Not just glass and crystals. Everything is a crystalline structure in some form or another at the molecular level. Not the molecular level, but close. Those crystalline structures, there was impurities in the crystalline structure, or like, you know, if you can imagine like it's a five-sided structure and there's a four-sided structure. Well, that four-sided structure was what would cause, the battery to fail. Mm-hmm. So now that we're to the point where we can actually look at a very fine level and have a very fine manufacturing process, we can create these solid state batteries because we're now to the point where we can create the purity of a material. And so a lot of these solid state batteries, Charlie and I have both on multiple occasions dealt with lithium batteries that have gone around the bend and they've inflated a phone, a laptop, yep, or whatever, because literally they're producing gas and they're going to explode. Yes. And it's bad. I've also dealt with lead leaking batteries and acid leaking batteries all, yeah, over the place and dealt with that cleanup and having to mitigate that. If you can imagine that the battery for your car is a ceramic tile. Huh. It's inert,
yeah,
right? It's not going to catch on fire. It's pretty resilient. It's stiff. When I say ceramic, people think it breaks, but think about a thick enough piece of ceramic.
Yeah.
You can drop it. You can smash it. It's going to chip the edges, but these batteries are not designed to work. The edges aren't really their thing. It's the sensors. Yeah. So if you can imagine these bricks, we'll just call them bricks. Okay.
Yeah.
These special bricks are pretty much indestructible and now are your batteries. And now someone's thinking, oh my gosh, a brick. Now my phone's going to weigh 400 pounds. Pick up a fancy tile, some of the more modern fancy tiles that are made with carbon and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, they're feather light. You can like a big 2x2 tile.
I kind of think of like the whole thing against the hard drive and a solid state drive.
Oh yeah.
It's like obviously there's a huge weight difference because most of the time your solid states are mostly encased in plastic, yeah, and everything, yeah, else. I mean, they're only PCB board, mm-hmm, on the inside.
Yeah.
But you take a hard drive.
Mm-hmm.
How much steel and aluminum is in that thing?
Yeah.
And it weighs a good, 2-3 pounds? Just one drive, maybe?
Pound and a half, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. It, yeah, just depends on what drive. I mean, I've held older ones that were a lot heavier.
Well, old SCSI drives. Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
If you needed to keep a door open in your technology room, you put one of the old hard drives as a doorstop because it would hold it open.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's a brick.
Even modern-day drives are not that heavy anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, they're, like you said, like a pound and a, yeah, half. Even like the little laptop ones are, yeah, still maybe about maybe a good pound, maybe just, mm-hmm, half a,
yep,
pound or something. But solid states.
Yep. Going to weigh nothing.
Yeah, they weigh nothing.
And so the other thing about a solid state battery is think about all the batteries that we wear or have inside our bodies.
Solid,
you got
point,
a pacemaker.
Yep.
You've got, pacemakers come to mind for people who need to monitor their heart or the pacemakers that are used to help with people with Parkinson's. There's lots of different kinds of devices that we wear, pain pumps. All of these things are powered.
Yeah.
RFID tags, all that stuff. Now imagine that those batteries aren't all these toxic chemicals. They're this inert chemical, which is fine in your body.
Exactly.
And it powers and it can never get broken. So, So the solid state for just a medical application is huge.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think, yep, those are my battery stories.
Those are your battery stories?
Yeah, I think so.
Let's see. What do I got?
Yeah, got a battery story.
Ooh.
You haven't done a car story yet.
I haven't done one yet. Yeah.
Yeah, you want to do a car story?
I don't know. This Intel and Samsung.
Okay,
thing.
Let's do that. I want
to
see that.
Intel and Samsung are partnering together right now to move on to slidable. PCs. All right.
Okay.
So similar to what LG did with the rolling phone, or no, was it LG? No, TCL, I think. No.
The screen expands.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Oops. I clicked on an Apple iPhone 14 thing. Thank you, Verge.
It took it over. So yeah, it just rolls out.
Yeah,
huh?
So it just rolls. So like, imagine like it's a tab. So basically, what I'm gonna put it here as a Surface,
mm-hmm,
but the screen rolls out.
Yeah.
To make it a bigger screen.
Yeah. So again, we are doing vinyl. We're going magnetic tape, and now we're going back to the scrolls from the Library of Alexandria. Except each one's an ebook.
Turns a 13-inch tablet into a 17-inch monitor with a flexible display and a sliding mechanism.
I mean, that's cool. I mean, so you can carry it as a tablet, but you can also stretch it out so you can have a much bigger screen to work from. I like, mm-hmm, that. I like that from a lot of perspectives.
Yeah, it aims to connect Intel-powered computers to smartphones, including iPhones.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
It's a concept for now, but it will eventually become reality. It's like the flexible LG TV that we talked about. Or no, the Corsair monitor.
Yeah, the Corsair monitor.
From last time.
Yep.
Because
and we talked about flexible armband, OLED things and stuff.
Well, like, I mean, I feel like screens are coming such a long way, especially with like OLEDs.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can basically, well, I wouldn't say beat the crap out of them, but you could, and nothing really happens.
Yeah, they're pretty resilient.
Like, they're pretty resilient to anything. Yeah. I mean, other than the eventual
burn-in. Yeah, it's funny that we kind of, you know, because I can remember walking around with kind of one of my first futurist friends, my friend Jenny Levine. I think she still works for the American Library Association. I haven't talked to her in like a million years. I can remember walking around at a conference with Jenny, and she was the first person I knew that had Google glasses.
Oh, like those
Yeah. And so she let me borrow it. Now, of course, I wear regular glasses, so I had to kind of fiddle with it. But it was interesting to have the screen projected onto my eye. And I thought, oh, this is where we're going. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, batteries and everything kind of killed off the Google Glass for a while. And they've made a comeback, and they've flopped several different ways.
Mm-hmm.
But it's funny that we're still in a very traditional monitor shape. We didn't verge to, you know, some kind of projection into the eyes, which I thought, well, that's where we were going.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, literally, when Jenny let me wear this thing, I'm walking around with it, and she had downloaded the plans for the conference center we were in. And so literally I had a heads up display of the hall I was in and where the rooms were. I thought, this is the greatest thing. And it was weird though, because you could like tilt your head like this. So you can imagine the Saturday Night Live thing with the guys, they were tilting their heads. That was big then. But you tilted your head, so you looked like you had a tick.
Yeah.
To flip and move things, or you had to like slide along
the side with your finger.
But I have terrible touch control. For whatever reason, my circulation is terrible.
Well, I mean,
so, like going like this.
There's been a lot of like things with AI glasses. Like they're just putting them into glasses.
Yeah.
Instead of just doing like a little clip on for your actual
glasses.
I'm
totally ready for, because when I'm so needing to replace these guys, because I've scratched the life out
of them. You're waiting for the AI glasses to come out.
I'm not going
to
wait that long. I need better glasses. I got a giant scratch right here that I got. It's like wearing bifocals, but not wearing bifocals.
This is where we start implementing like rip-offs.
Oh, yeah.
Tear-offs. Glasses.
This was totally me. I had goggles on, actually, and I got a piece of grip between me and the goggle.
Ooh.
And as I was taking the goggles off, they went like this. And that's what slid across. Yeah. Aww. I literally scratched it myself. Yeah. I watched it happen.
Dang.
I watched it happen.
That stinks.
Okay, you guys
okay,
this
go.
This is my new favorite weirdness.
Okay, your favorite weirdness.
Okay, so you've seen a couple of the displays that people have done with drones for like the Olympics where they made shapes and stuff.
The light displays and everything else. Yeah.
Okay. So there's these thing called cube satellites, which are really small, literally cubes. Like
just tiny.
That you launch up there in
they light up.
They light up. So if you can imagine, we're not putting the Olympic rings in the sky.
Like not just above the stadium.
No. We're putting them above
space.
The country and space. Yeah.
So everyone would be able to see it.
Yeah.
Instead of just the people that were there.
So think about advertisement.
Oh no.
You know, so I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen one. I've seen lots of them, especially when I go to North Carolina to the beach, where there was a plane. They would pull behind a message that said, like
the banner
at such and such restaurant or whatever.
Like I was just recently
or
in Columbus.
Happy birthday or, yeah.
You know, like recently
in Columbus. You were at Ohio State,
I was at Ohio State.
Yeah, did they have one
Columbus.
Of them?
Yeah, they would fly around Columbus
just
in circles. And occasionally it would land. You don't see it for a while. You see it come back
refuel.
Up. And then, new banner.
Oh, new banner.
New banner. Just flying around again.
Yeah. That's cool. That's cool.
They do around Cleveland a few times too.
Yeah, I've seen them like, for like when there's something going on in one of the stadiums.
Like, there's always something. Yeah. It's like the day that I went was Ohio State game day, so of course they were doing around day. Of course they have to advertise something on those days, right?
So, but if you can imagine satellites, then that generate basically lights that then you can arrange to make
a
picture. So like,
I can't wait for the full size ad. For Raid Shadow Legends, like just in the sky, and then like the next thing is it connects to all the speakers around you, and just blasts like the ad for Raid Shadow Legends
so,
in your ear.
For those of you who don't tend to float in the gaming community, or even on communities that are on the periphery, just nerd communities,
yes.
Because I've never played Raid Shadow Legends.
I haven't, not either.
But it's the ad for like.
It is the ad.
Almost every podcast, or not every podcast, every YouTube show I watch, mm-hmm. at least once runs one Raid Shadow Legends during the episode.
At least two or three people that I usually watch, and it's the first ad that they talk about is Raid Shadow Legends. And I'm like.
That game must be making lots of money to be able to pay for all these people.
Well, but, to and have they, but, the they, ad. But they give away like
stuff.
Free characters and things that I don't are like know. Probably like $20 to get enrolled.
It's not my kind of game.
No, it's not I'm not into those like tap button, oh, special move, tap button, tap button.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm into RPGs, but not like that.
No.
Yeah, so yeah, so if you're an IT person, you've seen Raid Shadow Legends because it's on our ads. It's if you're a gamer, if you're a tabletop gamer, if you're anything like that, literally Raid Shadow Legends.
You go into any forums, anywhere.
Oh, yeah.
It's always at least one ad somewhere in the future that you're scrolling through. Like when I'm on looking for tech news, occasionally it'll be Raid Shadow Legends is here.
Totally.
I'm like,
stop. Totally. All right.
Does that wrap it up?
I think I can do one more, and I think we're out.
I just closed it.
That's okay.
No,
that's okay. I'll do one of mine. I got one of mine. Let's see. What do I got? Battery.
He was ready to talk about just batteries.
Yeah, that was all my day. It was all batteries. No, actually, okay. So our last one, the European Union adopts a law requiring universal USB phone chargers by 2024.
Yes.
So it finally happened.
It's coming to United slowly. So, I want it
so
to happen.
You know, there's always a battle of how you charge your phone. And whether you're an Android or an iPhone user or some of the other companies use some different kind of chargers. Having a universal charger is a great thing because you can go anywhere and plug in your phone. You don't have to have your cable or know someone who has your phone. If you come into our library, we have a couple of different types of chargers that have like octopuses of cables so you can charge your phone. It would be so nice to not have an octopus of cables, but literally just have one or two cables or an octopus of the same cable that everyone could charge at once. What's the big deal about the European Union adopting it? Well, the fact that the European Union has made it law means that Apple has to comply if they're going to sell in the European Union. So that means Apple will change their charger, which they've started moving over to USB-C anyway because they knew this was coming.
Well, like their iPads and stuff.
Their iPads, the Apple notebooks.
Oh yeah, the Macs and stuff like that. Yeah,
but some of their other devices haven't moved over yet. So it's going to be a trickle down. If Apple wants to sell in the European Union, they're going to make this change. If they're going to make this change, we're all going to see it. And, you know, I love competition. I love things like that. But when it comes down to a basic necessity of charging your device, okay, let's just all use the same charger and get along.
At least the same cable at
same
this
cable.
Point.
Yeah, I mean.
Because it's like I show up to places, and I'm the only guy that has a lightning cable. For the people that have iPhones.
Yeah.
Because I'm the crazy guy that carries every single charging cable on the man.
That's because we're nerds.
Yeah, exactly.
We're computer nerds, and that's our existence.
But at this point, it's just like I'm waiting for the day where I can just buy a Type C, only walk in with one Type C, and just say, Here you go.
You know, because I mean, when you go places, it's nice to be the guy or gal who has the battery. You know, and you know someone's phone is dying because they haven't charged it all day because they've been at school, university, or whatever. And you're like, hey, I am your friend here. I have provided you charge.
Enjoy. I have your power.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, so I've been waiting for that to pass. So we'll see what happens, if it will come in the United States, if not.
Yep.
Because I know that there's been talk that they would, but.
Yeah. So I think that's our last story.
Yes, I believe so.
So, hey, thank you all for watching. We greatly appreciate everyone who tunes in and watches us, either watches us live, which is great, and you can ask questions, listens to us as a podcast on like a million places that you could get our podcast, or watches us later on any of our social media. We appreciate you guys. You're awesome. And stay safe out there and see you on the interwebs. So now I've got to run around to the other side and disconnect this.
I'm just gonna do this.
You're just gonna do that.
Just this.
Just sign off.
Run. As we slowly but surely
disconnect
the stream.
Yeah. This is where it runs long. I'm like, why are they running long?